One year ago, on this first Sunday of the school year, I shared a message that was entitled, The Year of Living Christianly. The Year of Living Christianly. Do you remember it? Awkward silence. It was based on A.J. Abrams' book, The Year of Living Biblically. Ringing any bells? It was a 7-point sermon. I know, it was horrible. Abrams' journey was interesting and insightful, and I used that title then to talk about 7 different things that we might reflect on or take up as a challenge for the whole year, the academic year, so to speak. I talked about the Henry Nouwen triad. I said, let's pursue listening prayer. Let's be a community that confesses our sins and forgives one another. Let's be a community that engages in theological reflection. I talked about the wisdom triad. I said, let's keep short accounts with each other. Let's be quick to work things out rather than harboring bitterness and anger. And then when we do talk, let's speak truth in love. And also, thirdly, let's nurture generous dialogue. And then the 7th thing I said was just on its own, and it was said, let's cultivate a place of blessing versus curses. In the midst of all the things going on in and around our community, let's people be a people who bless one another and who name the hundreds of blessings that are happening in our lives from week to week, rather than nitpicking at the 1 or 2 curses that we can focus on. I don't know how those things might have interacted with your life over the past year, but we figured it all out, didn't we? So let's move on to a new year, the year of living radically. No, I'm kidding. This is a long obedience in the same direction. And if you've heard anything from this pulpit over the past months, it's a staff saying, teaching and preaching that this is a long obedience in the same direction. These are things that we will continue to work at for the rest of our lives as the people of God. And at the same time, as we try to live and work these things out, this is a messy, 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 messy endeavor. We are a messy people with a messy sacred text. If you go through this Bible from book to book and page to page, and if you had a felt pen as you leaf through and you read through the stories and the things that are happening in this, what we call our sacred text, and if I asked you to put an F for every time the people of God failed, there's going to be a lot of F's in this text. It's a messy, messy story. We do not get it right, but God is gracious, He's merciful, He's faithful, and we continue to try and walk in the ways of God, the way of Christ, the way of our Savior. So I do want to talk about a new challenge, and I've put it under the banner of the Year of Living Radically. And when I use the word radical, it's not that emotional rallying cry of, oh, let's get radical. But as one colleague reminded me this week, radical comes from the word radix, Latin word, which means to the root. And so maybe even think of a radish that's rooted well. And so maybe instead of the year of radical, let's call it the year of living radishly. Let's just imagine we're a bunch of radishes being a blessing in the city of Edmonton, if that helps with the word picture. I'm going to talk about 3 radicals, 3 ways that we can be rooted as the people of God as we enter a new academic year. The first is this, radical welcome. If you've been reading through Luke or have been hearing us preach through Luke during the summer, you've seen often where Jesus welcomes people. It was often around meals, And it often got Jesus into trouble. And even in today's gospel text that we've heard today from Luke 15, verse 1 reads like this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus welcomes. Jesus' followers are called to welcome. And for us as a church that has a 117-year history, we have probably some good stories about welcoming, and we have some bad stories about welcoming. We have failed. We've messed it up. But God helping us, let's be a rooted people who offer radical welcome. For here at First Baptist Church, that might show up at the table of our Lord, the communion table, where we celebrate the Lord's feast once a month, sometimes twice a month. I hope you find that our table, our communion table, is a welcoming place, that it's an open table, a table where we don't build hedges around it that say, if you've been good enough this week, you can sup at the table of the Lord. Instead, this is a welcoming table. Hopefully, the sanctuary is a welcoming space for you. If you get up on a Sunday morning and come to the house of the Lord here at First Baptist Church, I hope this sanctuary is a welcoming place for you. You don't have to look a certain way or feel a certain way to get into this place or to be welcomed into this place. I hope that's your experience. The baptistry. We have a baptistry where we do baptisms right under the hands with the bread there. That is a welcoming place. If you want to get baptized, if you want to symbolize this new life that is in Christ, this dying and being resurrected in and with Christ, that baptistry welcomes you. Come and get wet, brothers and sisters. The coffee tables downstairs. We're not great at welcoming one another down there. And we've been talking about that as a staff. We're going to try to get better at that. So if you venture down into the coffee, tea area, snacks area, there's lots of nice people down there, lots of good people. But like any awkward social setting, sometimes we run to those that we feel comfortable talking to. And we're not always great at welcoming. But God help us. We will be a welcoming people because Christ has first welcomed us. Radical welcome. Second, I want to talk about radical generosity. If we're going to be welcoming, then hopefully going hand in hand with that welcome is generosity. And not generosity necessarily money-wise or economy-wise. I'm thinking about the generosity of the attitudes of our hearts. This coming year, can we be generous in the attitudes of our heart as we continue to be the church? And as we do that generous act, I can't help but think that we'll somehow get into trouble with one another. Because as I'm trying to live out the dream of God and welcome people and try to be a place seeking the peace and well-being of the city, I might end up bringing in some people that you might not get along with. But it's the same for you as you're rubbing shoulders with people in Edmonton, and maybe they're looking for a place to worship God, a place to be a part of a community of faith. You might bring people that I might not regularly rub shoulders with. And if we're going to be welcoming, and if we're going to be generous, we're going to need to be generous to each other. Let me hearken us back to the Philo of Alexandria quote that I used a few weeks ago. Be kind. Everyone you meet is in the midst of a great struggle. And if we play this out on the larger scale, I want to talk about the 1 billion Christians that are on the planet today. And I have more and more conviction that the way that we try to be the people of God as this 1 billion is to unify ourselves by being generous to one another in the attitudes of our hearts. Because the reality is that this 1 billion family of Christians is a messy place too. Some of us are too pushy. Some of us aren't pushy enough. Some of us are wound tighter than a knight. Oh, I found this great quote. I got to get it right, though. Some of us are wound tighter than a gnat's hide stretched over a rain barrel. I got that from the redneck sayings. Some of us need to lighten up. Some of us are too intense. Some of us aren't intense enough. Some of us are firstborn children in our families. Some of us are lastborns. Some of us are middle children. And yet God is using all of us to bring his dream to this earth. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if we're going to hold this team of 1 billion together, or 180 of us here, then we're going to have to be generous to each other, radically generous, approaching each other and saying, "My Christian faith journey might not be just like yours, but I'm pretty sure we're both striving for the same thing, to be the presence of God, to seek the peace and well-being of the city, to be ambassadors of shalom to the earth. God, help us. We will be a generous people because Christ has been generous to us." Thirdly, radical submission to Christ and to one another. When I use the word submission, I want to quickly add to Christ and to one another, because sometimes submission has this negative connotation in our minds. And I'm not talking about that deferring posture of just being nice to each other and letting each other do whatever they want. There's plenty of that going on in society and in churches, and I don't think it's radical. Radical submission, rooted submission, means that we willingly and joyfully submit to each other because we're following the Christ way. We're following a Christ who is journeying to the cross and who lives the way of the cross. This is not passive submission. This is active, intense, obedient submission to the will of God. So when we submit to one another, it's not a way of wimping out. It's a radical way. It's a rooted way in something deeper, because it means that we are abiding in Christ, submitting to each other because it's modeled by Christ. It's the way that the Christ life is put on display through us. In Ephesians 5:21, Paul puts it this way: "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And if you don't like that word submission, Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible, The Message, puts it this way, Ephesians 5:21, "Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another." Radical reverence. God, help us. We will be a submissive people because Christ has submitted himself for us. In John 15, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This is it. This is the life of living radically. This is the life of being a rooted people. Radical welcome, radical generosity, radical submission. In closing, I want to refer back to the epistle reading that we've heard from 1 Timothy as we talk about this Christ life within us. Because we don't do these things, these radical ways, in our own strength. We believe in a living Christ, this same living Lord that Paul testified of in 1 Timothy, as he tried to encourage his mentoree, Timothy. Paul said, "I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has strengthened me." That's our source of strength. "Has appointed me I've received mercy. I've received grace and faith and love. But for that very reason, I received mercy so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Paul writes, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. This is the Christ life being formed in us. And over the next several weeks and months, you'll hear me and other staff talking about us being a church that is a place of formation, spiritual formation, so that Christ is formed in us so that we can live these ways, these rooted ways of welcome, generosity, and submission. I want to close with some quick thoughts on spiritual formation, because often when you say that word, it doesn't mean the same thing to every person. But we are trying to talk about it as a journey inward and a journey outward. That as we as a community of faith journey in with Christ and allow Christ to journey in us, in our hearts, our souls, our bodies, and our minds, then there's a journey outward that happens as we then be the presence of Christ in the places that we're called to day after day, week after week. And we as a transformed people here in this place from Sunday to Sunday, or in our places of work or play or school, we then continue God's miracle work as he forms in us this Christ life. And we put his life on display through the ways that we do and be the Jesus way. And that might look like an absurd thing. It might look like a crazy thing. It might look like an upside-down economy thing. And even as we've read in the gospel text this morning from Luke 15, it might look like finding a coin and throwing a party that costs twice as much as the coin that you found. It might look like the absurd thing of leaving 99 sheep behind and going to find that one sheep that is lost. It might be the ridiculous thing of honoring the broken people around us and looking like fools in front of those people that we think we need to impress from week to week. It might be that crazy thing of welcoming people to our tables, even when it makes us look like losers or feel uncomfortable. The Jesus way is building the church, the dream of God, not on superstars, but on pretty ordinary people, broken, messed up, misfit people like you and like me. And our response might echo what Paul's response was in today's epistle text. That as the Christ life was transforming him, his response was gratitude and praise. And he writes in the final verses of today's reading, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. As we have a moment of silence before a prayer, I'll invite you to reflect on God's word. Perhaps you'll pray. Perhaps you'll simply listen. Perhaps you'll be silent with the word. And God might be stirring up something anew as we begin a new year together as the people of God. So one quiet minute to pray, and then I'll say a closing prayer. God of inspiration and creativity. Help us grasp what we need to grasp today. Maybe the word radical works for us. Maybe the image of being a rooted people is better. Maybe even the crazy image of being a vegetable might stir something in our hearts this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd help us in this journey of being a welcoming community, a generous community, a community that submits to one another out of love for you. These words from the hymn, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise," are fitting. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee.